Would you like antibiotics with your petrol? It seems like a pretty weird, odd question, but we're asking it because service station owners are backing a push for convenience stores to sell medicine, something that's usually the sole domain of pharmacies in Australia. It's being discussed as the federal government prepares to sign the next five-year community pharmacy agreement, an agreement that's worth almost $20 billion to 5,000 pharmacies. Annie Guest has our report.
All I'm asking for is cold and flu tablets.
Cold and flu, no worries.
The ones with pseudoephedrine.
No dramas. Have you had them before?
Yep.
At a central Brisbane pharmacy, 36-year-old plumber Ben Vetilago is buying cough and cold medicine.
Beautiful.
No worries. Thank you.
Have a fantastic day.
See you later.
Can I ask you, if you were getting a prescription medicine, would you be as comfortable getting a prescription filled in a convenience store as in a traditional pharmacy?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that, as long as they've got everything you need.
The campaign to get pharmacists into convenience stores and petrol stations is led by the Australasian Association of Convenience Stores. Its chief executive, Jeff Rogert, cites customer research in his push for deregulation of pharmacies.
The issue of pharmacy has come up quite often as a category that consumers would like to be able to buy from convenience stores. When I say that, I don't mean our current operators would suddenly become pharmacists, but the ability to have a pharmacy offer within the convenience stores. Again, that's not a new concept. It's been in the UK for a number of years. In the US, we're familiar with the drugstore concept. And even in Japan, where I experienced this a number of years back when I was there, we have some of the large convenience store groups that are now putting pharmacies within the convenience store.
Jeff Rogert also represents the Coles and Woolworths convenience stores located in petrol stations, and he supports the supermarket's long-time campaign to sell pharmaceuticals too.
Look, we're all about making it easy for people to buy what they want when they want to buy it. We start with the consumer first. As an example, we're excluded from selling beer and wine, as an example, out of convenience stores. Now, that is almost a monopoly by the major supermarkets. Yet if you go to convenience stores, again, globally, it's quite easy to get beer and wine. So we're not about putting up barriers or suggesting regulation for anybody else.
The sector is regulated by five-year community pharmacy agreements worth almost $20 billion to 5,000 pharmacies. The next agreement is due in 2020.
How many medicines would you put into a packet per day, do you think?
I reckon close to 200 to 300. It's a rewarding job, being able to deal with patients on a daily basis and try and improve their health.
Chris Owen is a pharmacy owner and also the Vice President of the Pharmacy Guild of Australia's Queensland branch. He describes the idea of pharmacists in convenience stores as ludicrous.
So one of the benefits of having a community pharmacist is that they are small business owners. They are working in the store majoritively, and they are people who have a skin in the game. They generally know their patients quite intimately, and they are able to work on the basis that patient health is the primary concern, not in corporate medicine or corporate health, where the shareholder is the primary responsibility. So even if it may not make financial sense, we still do things that are to the benefit of the patient's health.
But how can you say this when so often when you get a prescription filled, you only deal with the person at the counter who is not a pharmacist?
Well, all environments are different, and as I said, working in my pharmacy, I employ four pharmacists. Even the girls that are on the counter are pharmacy students.
Not all pharmacists are against deregulation. Australia's biggest pharmacy chain, Chemist Warehouse, is backing the push. It has described the current rules as outdated and says they make no sense. Chris Owen from the Pharmacy Guild acknowledges overnight access to pharmacies has been a problem. But in the case of Brisbane, for instance, he says there's now two that are open 24 hours.
If we have a pharmacy open overnight, we might require a security guard along with the pharmacist. So it's quite an expensive thing to be open.
In the 2018 financial year, the Pharmacy Guild was the 14th biggest donor to political parties, donating $220,000 to the Liberal, Labor and National parties. Has the Pharmacy Guild effectively bought its monopoly status?
I don't think that that's any truth to that. The requirements of a pharmacy is based in legislation at state and federal level.
A spokesman for the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt, issued a statement saying the government supports current arrangements, whereby prescription medicines are sold strictly in pharmacies. Asked for the government's specific reasons for opposing deregulation of the pharmacy industry, we were pointed to its 34-page response to a review of pharmacy remuneration and regulation, which was commissioned after a joint commitment by the government and the Pharmacy Guild in 2015. It did not specify the reasons for the government's opposition to deregulation. We again asked the Minister's office for clarity, but did not receive any further detail. Also in 2015, a separate report, the Government Commissioned Competition Policy Review, conducted by Melbourne University's Professor Ian Harper, recommended the removal of pharmacy and ownership rules. Stephen Duckett is a former secretary of the Federal Health Department, who says the answer lies in the pharmacy's lobbying power.
I think what's happened over time is that the Pharmacy Guild has persuaded politicians of both parties, we're not just talking about the current government, but politicians of both parties, that they would mobilise their local pharmacies to oppose any policies that they're against. Now, of course, pharmacists are well trusted in the community, and they're not averse to using the trust, which is about a patient relationship, to achieve their political and commercial ends.
Stephen Duckett is also the director of the health program at the Grattan Institute. He says deregulation could include rules that would ensure pharmacy services continue to be available in regional areas.
There is very strong regulation about ownership, there's strong regulation about location, and both of these are areas where we should be freeing up the regulation, allowing more competition to the benefit of consumers.
What exactly would be the benefit to consumers?
I think there are two things that have been shown overseas to be the case. First is reduction in prices, and secondly is more convenience, longer opening hours and so on. So especially in metropolitan areas where the viability of pharmacy is not really under threat, we ought to be thinking of the consumer first rather than the pharmacy owners.
That's Stephen Duckett from the Grattan Institute, ending Annie Guest's report.